Okay, so the topic of today's shiur is choosing a profession, which appears to be an apt topic for finals week, right? Because when you get to the end of finals, then you have a better idea of which professions are within the realm of possibility. So there are four people, according to the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, so there are four different items that Tzrichin Chizuk, Abba Tzrichin Chizuk. Torah requires chizuk, Ma'asim Tovim requires chizuk, Tefillah requires chizuk, and the other item, the last item, is Derech Eretz, that professional life requires chizuk. So Rashi says, what does it mean chizuk? It means tamin b'chol kochol. It requires persistent effort with all of your energies. And with respect to Derech Eretz, Rashi says, imumon hu l'munaso, if he's an artisan, so he requires chizuk. With respect to the artisan work that he does, himself, if he's a merchant, he requires chizuk with respect to his merchant work. That when it comes to talking about a profession, this is something which is always a hardship in life. It's always something which requires a meticulous detail, it requires a tremendous reinforcement, it requires every single day for a person to reinforce their energy level and their passion level. And it doesn't only begin when you're actually out of work. It begins already during the time that you're preparing for Parnassa. It begins when you're going to school and you have to take the tests and you have to take the courses and you have to prepare yourself for graduate school and for the track and path which is going to lead to your success. I remember when I was a student at Yeshiva, when I would have finals week and I would feel depressed because I was always sure that I had done terribly on my finals. So I would walk around saying that now I recognize that I couldn't be a doctor and I couldn't be a lawyer. I'd probably have to be a sanitation worker. So everything was kind of clarified in my mind. For some reason, I had a tremendous siyata dishmaya that I kept on getting A's in every single course, even though I don't think that it was completely al pi teva. I did study and I did try hard, but I just had a tremendously good siyata dishmaya that I always got the A's. So I, on a whim, I decided I would take the law boards. I would take the LSATs. And in those days, the highest score that you can get in the LSATs was a 48. I didn't know that. I thought the highest score was a 45. So when I got the results back, the result was a 47. I assumed that it was a typo and it was really a 41. They said, nope, it's really a 47. Apparently it was even higher than what I thought was the highest grade. So I was kind of invariably pushed into the direction of going to law school, because if you have straight A's and you do so well in the LSAT, so you may as well just apply to law school already. Once I applied to law school, I applied to good law schools, and I got into the good law school, so I ended up going to law school. Not because I necessarily knew that I wanted to become an attorney, it's just kind of that events propelled me in that direction. I remember we had a number of very smart people in law school who didn't know what they wanted to do in life. And one of them made the comment that he figured that since he was an intelligent fellow who didn't know what to do in life, at some point in life he would have to go to law school, so he figured he would get it over with. So that's why he was in law school. And then he said that once he finishes law school, he's going to go for a doctorate in philosophy. So he did that. After law school, he went for a doctorate in philosophy at Columbia University, and somebody just told me that he's a professor of philosophy at Columbia today. So you never really know, even when you seem to be pushed in a particular direction, where you're going to end up. But sometimes events just kind of cascade a certain way, and then you end up in a certain profession. In my own professional career, I started out as an attorney, and after working for a number of years, I felt that I didn't have the passion for it. And then an opportunity came along to be able to learn in the Yadin Kolel while I was working as an attorney, and then to take a leave of absence to complete my studies in Yadin Yadin. And that led to a volunteer position at the Beis Din of America, and that led to an offer to become the director of the Beis Din of America. So in a way, sometimes you just kind of follow the trajectory of where events take you and where your passions take you. And that kind of helps to elucidate what type of a career you end up having. So I guess that one of the themes that I wanted to impart with you in this presentation is that maybe the path of choosing a profession from a Torah perspective is not so much choosing a profession as much as it is letting the profession choose you. That you, every single person has a tafkid in life. Every single person has their own passions and their own proclivities and their own talents and their own skills. And those are given to them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single person has their own unique contribution to make in the world. And you have to pay attention to what talents and skills and interests HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to you, and what opportunities come along for you to be able to utilize those skills and those talents. And that provides you with a sense of direction as to what your tafkid is supposed to be in this universe. And there are certain guidelines, and we'll discuss those guidelines, but I think that's the general principle. What are the general guidelines? So the guidelines with respect to choosing a profession are, first of all, that it's a good thing to have a profession. This is actually codified in Shulchan Aruch. This is in Orach Chaim, Siman Kuf Nun Vav. In the Orach Chaim, the Shulchan Aruch talks about when you get up in the morning and you go to shul and you daven and then you learn. And then after you have your Seder Kavua of learning of being Kovei Itzim in the morning, so the Mechaber says, Achar Kach Yelach La'Asokov, a person is supposed to go to work. A person is supposed to work for a living. We believe in that concept. It's codified in Shulchan Aruch. I can quote you lots of Agadita, lots of Agadus, a relative of mine by the name of Rav Yoel Schwartz. He wrote lots and lots of Sfarim. So he wrote a sefer called Gedola Malacha, about the greatness of Malacha, because there are a few Ma'amarim in Chazal that talk about how wonderful it is, how important it is to work for a living. So he wrote a very nice kunteris on the subject, but because he operates within the Haredi world, he used to be the Mashkiach of Itri Yeshiva, and then he became a Rosh Yeshiva at Dvar Yerushalayim, very active with Baalei Tshuva, but he's certainly in the Haredi world. So he has an epilogue at the back of the Sefer, in which he makes clear everything that was written over here was only for those people who are not Zocheh to sit and learn in Kolel all the time. That if you're able to sit and learn in Kolel all the time, you have such a sukkah. So obviously this Sefer isn't necessarily intended for you, but Lu Yitzuyer, that for whatever reason it doesn't work out, so here this book is giving you the general guidelines. So that's a big question as to whether it really is a good thing, whether it's l'chatchila that a person should just sit in Kolel and not make a living. So most of the sources in Chazal indicate that a person should make a living. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah and Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah railed very virulently against those who would sit and receive income from others and get a parnasa from those who would support them basically as a tzedakah cause, and would only sit and learn and not make a living. He said that this was wrong, it was an abomination, it's detestable, it's horrible. The Rambam couldn't have used stronger language, and there was a whole debate that ensued around the Rambam. There was a long Kesef Mishnah on that Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah, in which the Kesef Mishnah brings all the contrary views, suggests that maybe even the Rambam's not talking about a person who, in order to succeed in teaching Torah to others, is not able to do so if he would have another living, have another parnasa on the side. Maybe the Rambam was only talking about somebody who would have the ability to separately sustain themselves and does not actualize that ability. So that's a big question as to how one interprets the Rambam. But as a general principle, if you look at the sources in the Gemara, you look at the sources in the Agadah, it's very clear that Chazal make a tremendous point about the chiyuv to earn a living. It could be that if you're teaching Torah and you're earning living by virtue of being a mechanic, that's also learning, earning a living. That's on a different madrega than just sort of sitting and learning on your own and not necessarily contributing your talents in a way that's imparting to others. Maybe that's a more serious problem, according to the Rambam. So the Mishnah Berurah addresses the point about whether it's ever appropriate for somebody to sit and learn. He says that if you look in the Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, so the Gemara in Brachos says that there was a machlokis between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. The Rabbi Yishmael says, we see, he says, V'asavta deganecha, you're supposed to go out and you're supposed to work. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, if you're going to be plowing and you're going to be planting and you're going to be reaping and you're going to be winnowing, then Torah mate oleo, what's going to happen to Torah? What's going to happen to the limud of Torah? So the Gemara says that some people try to follow the example of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, but most people were not successful. And those who tried to follow Rabbi Yishmael of working for a living and also being kovei itzim the Torah in the morning and at the night, in addition to their work, so they were successful. So the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Nun Vav says that for Yechidim, as we see from the Gemara, for Yechidim it can be appropriate. That not everybody is Olev to this Madrega, but we see that it was Harbe also Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai will also be other. It's a lashon of the Gemara. Many tried to do like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, but it didn't work for many. So he says, if it didn't work for many, so it could work for a few. So there was sort of this notion of a harasha when it looked like the study of Torah and the observance of Torah was collapsing At a certain point in Jewish history, not so long ago, that many Gedolim said that everybody who has the drive to do so should go and sit in Kollel. But that was because of the fact that otherwise Torah was being lost altogether. So now we've gotten over that hurdle. So now, ostensibly, we go back to the original halacha that for some yechidim it's appropriate, but most people are supposed to go out and make a living. Now, it could be if the living that you're making is that you're teaching Torah, you're imparting Torah to others, and you're not able to do that unless you get paid for it. So that, as the Kesef Mishnah points out, could, of course, also be perfectly legitimate. But what's the whole svara behind this notion that you're supposed to go to work? So the Mechaber quotes really from Pirkei Avos, the Kol Torah She'eni Mamalacha. If you have Torah which does not accompanied by work, by labor, Sofer B'Teilu V'Gereres Avon, then eventually it's going to not be sustained. Such a Torah is not a type of Torah that's going to be viable, and it's going to lead to Averos. If a person has no money, so then they might cheat, they might steal, they might be molaste mesabrios, is the lashon that the Rambam uses, the lashon that the Bar Tanura uses, the comment on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, that if a person doesn't have the means to support themselves, so then they'll cut corners, they'll be much more likely to cut corners, and therefore it could lead to gezel. So therefore, the appropriate course is that a person's supposed to work for a living. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that a father is obligated to teach his son how to make a living. The Yerushalmi in Kiddushin says, Uvachata b'chayim. It means this is umnas. This is when it says that you should choose life. So choosing life is a reference to making a living, that you're supposed to make a living in life. And there are many, many sources, kehena v'kehena rabos, that it is a part of the basic respectability of a human being to make a living. And if you're not able to make a living easily, you're not able to do well on your finals, so you have to end up being a sanitation worker, you have to end up being somebody who carries around the nevelos b'shuk. So the Gemara in Psachim and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel says that Pshot Nebeita B'Shid Nebeita B'Shukah, that if that's the only way that you can make a living, then you should even take around a filthy riding carcass in the public marketplace in order to make a living below Tema. And you shouldn't say that Gabra Rabba Anad. What are you talking about? I'm a YU graduate. I'm somebody who is such an exalted, dignified individual. This is below my dignity. You're not allowed to say that this is below your dignity, and that's something which you're obligated to do as well. And that is also so that you shouldn't have to take from Tztokah. And that halacha is codified in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reishin and Hey and Yoredeya. It says Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reishin and Hey and Yoredeya says the Olam Yachigod Ma'atzma Mehat Tztokah, that it's also important for a person not to be dependent upon public funds. Vigagal Atzma B'Tzar, even if it means that the profession that they'll end up with because they failed all their finals will be one that's a very difficult one. Shal Yitztarech Lebrios, that they should not be dependent upon others. The Chayin Sibu Chachamim, and similarly the Chachamim said on that very same page in Maseches Pesachim, Asei Shabbos Chachol Be'at Yitztarech Lebrios, that they shouldn't need, that if you don't have the funds to be able to find fancy food for Shabbos, so then don't buy fancy food for Shabbos, but don't be dependent upon other people. Ba'afilu Be'umnus Menuvelis, even if you're a Chacham Mechubad, you should nonetheless not hesitate to engage yourself in a profession which is minuvelis, which is one that is perhaps degrading, and not be dependent upon others. So this is the basic Torah Hashkapa, the philosophy of the importance of making a parnasa. We believe that it's very important. But how do you decide, again, which parnasa you're going to select? How could you tell what signals are supposed to be your guiding posts in terms of choosing the correct parnasa? So that's the Mishnah in Kiddushin. The Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph quotes Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says, Li'olam yilamin adam es b'no umnas nekiya b'kala. A person should choose. So we said that there's a mitzvah for a person to choose to teach their son an umnas, because the Gemara in Kiddushin says this is based on the pasuk Ve'echayim im isha asher ahavta. That just like a father has to marry off his son to an isha, he also has to provide him with chayim. And the Yerushalmi also said, right, uvacharta b'chayim. This is where the expression undoubtedly comes from about making a living, right? That's the wording of the Gemara. That ve'echayim. That when we talk about life, that's talking about it's talking about going to work. It's making a living. That's life. That when you go to work, that's life. And so too, v'karta b'chayim, choose life, so that's making a living. That's going to work. So Rabbi Meir says that when you teach a child, when you are educating a student, you're educating your son, about what profession to choose. It should be Nikiya Vitala. So Nikiya means what? Means clean. Vitala means what? Kala with a kuf. Kala means easy. It should be clean and it should be easy. So clean means what? So there are two different definitions of what Nikiya means that is provided by the various mefarshim. One is, as the Yaruch says, that it should be Naki Migezel. It should be the type of profession where you're not going to be engaged in stealing. There are different types of, you should not become a professional gambler. To become a professional gambler, first of all, you're not Osek B'Yishuvo Shalolam, as the Gemara says, but it's also very likely to lead to all kinds of transactions which would be a violation of a smakta of stealing. You should stay away from professions, even cutthroat type professions where everybody's stealing from each other. So you have to make sure there's no mitzvah to go out to work if you're going to be involved in stealing and thievery, in ripping people off. And the other explanation of what Naki means, the other explanation of Nikiya, is that it should be Naki Michet, it should be Naki Miznus. That's also mentioned by the various Meforshim, that it should be Naki Miznus. The Tiferes Yisrael says Naki Mechashan Noshim, that it shouldn't be the type of profession where you're always getting into trouble or you have irresistible temptation to be involved in promiscuous or licentious type behavior. So a person probably should avoid becoming a Hollywood actor, because in the Hollywood industry, it's almost impossible, from what I understand, to thrive or to succeed in that type of an industry without being involved in constant snus and without being constantly surrounded by snus. So there are certain types of professions we're told that if you know, see that it's going to lead to a veira. There are two things that bring down a person over the course of their life that have the potential of destroying a person in scandal. One is the scandal of stealing money, and the other is the scandal of illicit sexual behavior. Those are the two things. So that's Naki, that's what Naki means. Stay away from the type of profession, a type of job where you're going to be exposed to those pitfalls in a fashion that you won't be able to avoid them.
Does that mean somebody shouldn't become a doctor, which involves dealing with women's private parts, like plastic
surgery? So we'll talk about that. There are certain professions where this nus might be just part and parcel of the profession. A person is working in a house of ill repute. So my yase hayel v'lo yechetzo, that's a Rashi ala Torah. That there are certain types of surroundings where a person is almost going to be inevitably pulled in to a life which is going to be full of fate and full of immoral type of behavior. So a person has to avoid something which intrinsically has fate associated with it. I'll give you another example. Let's say a person wanted to go into journalism. So there's a whole question about journalism. A person is pushed towards journalism. I think that somebody probably could be a journalist and follow halakhic norms and follow halakhic rules. But let's say they want you to be the gossip columnist. You're going to be the gossip columnist, so all that you're doing is lashon hara. If every single thing that you're supposed to do is lashon hara, how could you possibly protect yourself against lashon hara in every single thing that you're going to be writing, to find a heter for this, a heter for that, a heter for the other thing, if the whole thing that you do is you're writing a lashon hara column? So you can't go into a profession where the whole thing smacks of a veira. The same thing, you're going to go work for the Playboy Mansion or something like that. Everything, the whole profession is surrounded by snus. So you have to avoid. So that's the nakia. It has to be naki. What does kala mean? So kala is understood in a couple of different ways. The Gemara says that the epitome of kala is machta de tamayusa, that you're doing quilting, basically, that you are involved with a needlepoint. That it's kala, it's something which is very simple, it's something which is not very taxing, it's something which is not very hard. Now, for many of us who are sitting here, if we had to sit in front of a sewing machine all day and do needlepoint, we would find that to be amongst the most onerous things that we could possibly do. It would be very, very vexing. What it means is that for a person who doesn't necessarily have other active interests, for a person who is not otherwise intellectually engaged, but this is what they're capable of doing, and they can master it very quickly. So that's what kala means. It's something that you're capable of mastering. It doesn't have to be needlepoint for every single person. I remember there was a rabbi a number of years ago who said that the modern-day manifestation of needlepoint is being a computer programmer, that you figure out basically how to do the computer programs, and you do them over and over again. So a lot of those people don't have jobs anymore. I don't know that it necessarily follows that a person has to do something which is mindless. The way the Maharsha explains kala is a little bit different. the way the Maharsha understands Kala is that Kala means that it is a type of profession that's not going to completely consume you and eat you up alive. That you will be able to have time for learning Torah. You'll be able to still make a Torah living and Torah learning the Ikka part of your life, and you make it clear that this is what you do on the side, that your living should be something which has a great contribution, something which gives you personal satisfaction, but it's Kala in the sense that you can do it without having it consume you entirely, that it's something which does not completely overwhelm you in every single way. But I think that maybe there's a further meaning to what Kala connotes in this context, and we're going to get back to the question that you asked about the lawyers as well. In fact, the Mishnah talks about being a lawyer, and the Mishnah talks about being a doctor. You asked about a doctor, and the Mishnah talks about being a rabbi. And if you look at the Mishnayos seem to say that they're all terrible jobs. The Mishnah says, "Altas asimcha ki'okei adayanim." Right? The Mishnah in the first parak of Avos, don't make yourself like a lawyer. Mishnah in Kiddushin over here says, "Tov shevaropim legehinim," that the good doctors go to Gehinim. We don't have to translate Gehinim. And Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Saneat harabanut," that you should hate being a rabbi. Some say rabbanut means you should hate lording over people, but the Pharisee Saul understands it literally, that you should hate being a rabbi. So what is it? Every single nice Jewish boy has to become an accountant. So it has to be that there's more to the equation. The Rabbam in Perish HaMishnayos in Nedarim says it's a big mitzvah to be a doctor. We know from the Gemara Baba Kama that Rishus Nitna L'Ropi L'Rapos, because it says Rapo Yerapei, you were given permission to be a doctor. Rama says not just permission, it's a big mitzvah to heal people, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability to do the tremendous mitzvah of healing people. So it could be that in every single profession there's a Nakia. Some professions are impossible. As I said, there's some professions by definition, they're not Nakia, that you're going to be immersed in a world of Aveiros. You have to stay away from them. But there are some professions where there are many professions, maybe most professions, there's a Nakia way of doing it, and there's a non-Nakia way of doing it. There's a way of doing it properly, and there's a way of not doing it properly. So the Pharisee Saul explains, what does it mean that a good doctor goes to Gehinnom? It means that to be a doctor, you can't just be good. To be a doctor, you have people's lives in your hands. You're going to basically have a Chayim v'Hamavis. You're going to have life and death that will be a subject to your split-second decisions and to your judgment and to your medical knowledge. You can't be a doctor just kind of like as a hobby, as a distraction. You can't be a mediocre doctor. If a person's guy had a friend who wasn't sure whether he wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer, his parents were pushing him that he either had to become a doctor or a lawyer. And he was like an average student when he was in college, and he said his heart wasn't really so passionate about medicine, but his parents wanted him to become a doctor. So I said that if you're going to be mediocre in what you're doing, you should become a lawyer and not a doctor, because if you're a mediocre doctor, people are going to die because of you. If you're a mediocre lawyer, so people lose money because of you. It's not the end of the world. So that's what it means, Tosher Opim Legehinim, that to be a doctor, so that could be a tremendous mitzvah, as the Rambam writes, but only if you're really passionate about it, only if you really love medicine and you love healing people and you're constantly consuming all of the literature and all of the latest techniques and you're figuring out the best possible medicines for everybody. It's all you think about day and night. So if that is your consuming passion in life, so then it could be good for you to become a doctor if you're very good at it. But if you're not, if you're only going to be adequate as a doctor, so then you should not become a doctor. In terms of a lawyer, so the Gemara gives different scenarios in which it's good to give people legal advice and which it's bad to give people legal advice. Gemara in Suvas has a couple of cases where Rabbi Yochanan gave family members advice. So in one case, they had family members where the father's widow, maybe it was a second wife, the father's widow was in constant need of medical attention, and she was eating up basically all the assets of the estate. So there's a halakha that if there's a fixed medical amount that is set aside for medical expenses, then it can be taken out of the ksuba, and it's not an indefinite amount. So he gave them the advice, make it a fixed amount instead of an indefinite amount. And that way, you'll pay the amount and you'll be done with the ksuba, and you won't have expenses that will consume you for the rest of your lives. And then he said afterwards, I shouldn't have done that. I acted like a lawyer. So what was the problem of his giving that advice? So many of the Mephoshim explained, because it wasn't necessarily such nice advice, because it was taking advantage of somebody who was in need of medical attention. That person didn't have the ability to control their own destiny, and he kind of interceded in this situation in a way that caused loss to somebody else and wasn't necessarily creating greater chesed to the world at large. Then there's another case that the Gemara has in Ksuvos, where there was another widow of a father of some other relatives of Rabbi Yochanan, and this widow was not acting properly. She was eating up all the assets of the estate because she had a very hearty appetite. She was apparently a very gesunte widow, and she was very voracious in terms of eating up all the assets. So he said in that case that you should just set aside a specific piece of karka for her sustenance. And the Tosus asked, why was this case okay? Because he didn't say he regretted giving the advice in this case. So Tosus explains that it was because in this case she was presented with that option. It wasn't something that would be done against her will. It was something which she had equal in the bargaining power. It was done in a fashion of justice and fairness, and therefore it was okay. Another Mephoshim, I think the Miri say that in this case it was okay because she was doing something wrong, and he was saving people, his relatives, from being oppressed. He was lahatzel oshet miyad oshko. In this case, he was bringing about the fairest possible situation by being a lawyer, by assisting his relatives from being taken advantage of. That being a lawyer as well, it depends. Are you going to go into law? Are you going to be an ambulance chaser? And you're just going to care about making money, even if you're causing harm to other people? So then it's not a proper pursuit. But if you go into law and you're going to be helping people, you're going to be acting in a way of chesed, or at the very least, you're going to be acting fairly, giving the other person the equal bargaining power, and you're not going to be railroading people, so then being a lawyer could be very good. And Tiferes Yisrael says the same thing about being a rabbi. What do you mean, Saneya Tarabanut? He says there are two different ways that a person can be a rabbi. A person can be a rabbi and that he is just a parnes hamisgayel al tzibur, that he is somebody who just absolutely lords over the congregation for his own personal aggrandizement. So that is very wrong. Don't go into the rabbinate for your own personal aggrandizement. It's not going to work anyway. But he says, if you're going to be a panas, manigas at tzibur ben achas, as the Gemara says, that you're going to conduct the tzibur gently and compassionately and just constantly do acts of chesed and you're not in it for yourself, so then it's a tremendous mitzvah to be a rab. That's the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga in Daf Hei Amud Bei says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu cries over three people every single day. A person who has the ability to learn Torah and doesn't learn Torah. There are people, what does that mean? So one way of understanding it is that there are people who really should be in Avodas HaKodesh. They should be teaching Torah, they should be writing Svarim, but they don't take advantage of their talents to the degree that they are capable and they were endowed by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu cries over them. He also cries over people, says the Gemara, who are not capable of learning Torah, and nonetheless, this is what they do for a living. This is presumably those people who were given talents to contribute to the world in other ways, the people who should be the doctors and the lawyers and the business people and the accountants and all of those professions, but instead they're sitting in the base medrash, even though they can't accomplish so much in the base medrash, if that's all that they're doing all day. Obviously, they should be kovei itim l'Torah, but to do that all day is not necessarily their tafkid in life. And then the third category, which on its face doesn't seem to belong with the other two, but based on what I just explained, clearly belongs with the other two. The third category is Panas HaMisgal HaTzibor, is if I have a leader who is lording himself over the Tzibor. What does it have to do with the first two? It means that even when you go into a profession that might be your calling in life, you have to go into that profession with the right attitude, that you're going to be contributing something positive to the profession. You're going to be helping people and not just helping yourself. That the whole idea of Parnassah, the Saba Mikelem explains this, the whole idea of why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a way that everyone should have to subsist through Parnassah. Yigia kapecha ki sochel ashrecha v'toblach, ashrecha v'olam aser v'toblach v'olam haba, as the Gemara in Brachos Daf Ches says. So that is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way we should all be a chev giv chesed to each other. We should all benefit from each other. We should all have an appreciation. Oh, my garbage was picked up today because there's somebody who's a garbage person. I have heating today because there are people who are working in Con Ed who are providing heating. I was able to buy clothes because there are people who have become learned in terms of the craft of becoming a tailor. And to be able to appreciate what other people are doing and to be able to give to other people. The whole thing is based on chesed. The whole thing is based on chesed. So when you go into Parnassah, you have to have that attitude. I'm going to go in because I want to be helpful. I want to be a crackerjack physician. I want to be a lawyer who actually is helping people, or at least is approaching the profession in a way which is fair and just. I want to be a community leader because of the fact that I want to uplift the spirits of the downtrodden and the vulnerable people within the community. That has to be the attitude. But again, the Nekiya B'Kala gives you some sense of the attitude when you go into a profession. It gives you some sense of the pitfalls that you have to avoid within each profession, and certain professions that have to be off limits entirely. However, how do you make the determination of whether you should be the lawyer or the doctor? Is it, though I have good grades and I don't want to see, I couldn't become a doctor because I'm a Kohen. Nowadays, the Kohanim come up with explanations as to why they think they can go to medical school. But it's generally assumed if you're a Kohen, you don't go to medical school. So I couldn't become a doctor. I wasn't that good at science anyway, I don't think. But so for me, so my mother wanted me to become a doctor. I couldn't become a doctor, so naturally I had to become a lawyer. And I had the grades, so I ended up going to law school. But I also had an interest in law. Even from a young age, it was always something that interested me. Whenever there were school plays and somebody had to play the lawyer, so I was the lawyer. I was the captain of the debating team when I was in MTA. So I had a certain tendency in that particular direction, that it was something that interested me. So the Gemara in Brachos, this is a very important Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos, Adaf Mem Gimel Amud Bey, says about the Pasuk, Es HaKol Asah Yefeh Beito, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu made everything beautifully in its right time, in its right place. As HaKol Yipa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menasel B'Fanav. It says the Gemara that to every single person, Malamish Kol Echad Be'Echad Yipa Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menasel B'Fanav. That's the Gemara in Brachos on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. That for every single person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made their profession beautiful and desirable in their eyes. That every single person has certain passions, and those passions, this is how I would interpret the Gemara, those passions are the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is signaling to the person, this is what you are supposed to do. As HaKol Asah Yafeh Be'ito. If it is Yafeh to you, you get excited about law, you get excited about medicine, you get excited about hedge funds. Whatever, you get excited because you're from the Sephardi community, you get excited about importing and exporting, whatever. So whatever it is that it just causes you to have the passion, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to have that passion. That is what you're supposed to be doing in life, what you're passionate about. In fact, if you look at the Lashon of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and Perek Aleph, the Mishnah says that Ahuvis HaMalacha. You should love Malacha. Why do we use that Lashon Ahuvis HaMalacha, that you should love Malacha? Because the idea is that you should pursue something which causes you happiness, that you love, that actually that endows you with a certain amount of love and affection and passion. That is the signal that this is what you're supposed to do. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amid Aleph talks about, according to one opinion. The one opinion says that people have certain tendencies based on the star that they were born under, the sign, the zodiac sign in the sky that they were born under. The other opinion says, "Ein mazel b'Yisrael." But according to this opinion says if a person was born under the sign of Madim, what's Madim? Mars, apparently. So if a person is born under the sign of Mars, which is red, so that means that they're going to become a murderer. So what do you mean they're going to become a murderer? So doesn't a person have pithiva kashyus that they could become a good person or a bad person? So how are they going to be a murderer? So God says it doesn't really have to be a murderer. It means they're going to shed blood. They could shed the blood by being a murderer, by being a gangster, or they can end up being a butcher. Or they can end up being a moil, that they're going to basically be doing bris milah. They could be a doctor. That a person has a certain tendencies. But the question is, how do they direct those tendencies? The tendencies can be directed for bad, but the tendencies can be directed for good. But a person has to recognize, what are their tendencies? What are the courses they really enjoy taking? What are the courses that they do very well at? These are all signs, basically, of what they were designated to do in life. There's a line in the Mishnah in Kiddushin that is understood one way, and I'm going to explain it another way. There's a line that says that she'en umnus, a person should take an umnus nekiya vikala. So I want to say that vikala means that it's easy for you, that this is something that's easy for you. For some people, doing needlepoint is easy for them. For other people, doing needlepoint would be one of the hardest things in the world because it would drive them crazy. They go batty, they go postal, whatever. But if you are passionate about something, that's going to be kala for you. That's going to be easy for you. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, "V'yisbalo, you should pray l'misha oshem and achasim shalom. You should pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's in control of all wealth and all possessions. She'ein umna, she'ein ba'aniyas va'ashiris.
There's no umnes, there's no profession that doesn't have poverty and that doesn't have wealth. So this is generally understood to mean that in every single profession, you can become really rich through the profession, and in every single profession, you can become really poor through the profession. You could go into investment banking and become fabulously wealthy, or you could lose your shirt. In every single profession, there's no guaranteed return that you're going to become wealthy or impoverished. It all depends on the person's chus, that a person shouldn't go into the profession and say, oh, in this profession I'm going to go because this is going to cause me wealth. So that's how it's generally understood, and there's obviously truth to that interpretation. But I think that it's more than that. I think that we have to really determine how we're defining the words anius va'ashius, poverty and wealth. I had a professor when I was in law school who gave the commencement address 1 year at graduation. His name was Professor Alan Schwartz. And when I took every course that he taught, because he was just very, very funny, so I just enjoyed his courses. It didn't really matter what he was teaching. It could be commercial law, it could be, I think I took corporate finance with him, but everything that he taught, it was just a big joke, so it was a lot of fun. So he was a brilliant fellow, and he was very into law and economics. That was his big thing, that in the legal profession right now, so one of the big theories is law and economics, and you can explain every single law based on economic theory of what are the economic interests at stake in any particular situation, and how do we carve out the law based on those economic interests. And it's a little bit cynical, especially when it comes to laws that we understand as regarding morality and explained in terms of economics. But anyway, he was a law and economics person, but he made a very compelling argument. This was real chokhmah in the argument that he said that when you try to figure out what to do in life, he said, don't assume that you have to go and work for a law firm or you even have to have a legal job altogether. He said, figure out what it is that you enjoy doing the most, because when you're in a job that you're going to enjoy the most, that's going to bring out the most passion, and it's going to utilize your intellectual energy in the most productive possible way, and you're going to accomplish the most, and therefore you will get the most fulfillment. And ultimately, richness in life is not dependent upon how much money comes in, but how much fulfillment you get out of really being able to utilize and actualize all of your talents in life, to be able to make a real solid and meaningful contribution. So he urged everybody to really figure out what they were most passionate about, because he said from an economic perspective, in terms of producing the most, in terms of what you're capable of, and in terms of getting the best return, in terms of your own internal happiness, and happiness is money, in terms of this equation, because this is what will give you the most sipukha nefesh, so it made the most sense not to figure out how to make the most money. Right, there's a famous line, and there's a movie called Citizen Kane. Anybody ever seen the movie Citizen Kane? It's considered one of the best movies of all time, right? So at one point, they're interviewing the Jewish associate of this newspaper magnate, who is Kane, right? So they're interviewing Bernstein. So they ask, Kane made so much money, and yet he was such a miserable person. So he said, yeah, it's easy to make a lot of money if all you want to do in life is make a lot of money. Very, very trenchant statement. And ultimately, that's not the goal. That's not what Ashiras is really all about. Ashiras is about getting the most sipukha nefesh. So a person who is passionate about what they are doing, so that is ultimately going to bring out the best in them, the most in them, and the ultimate happiness. So I think that's what the Mishnah means. When the Mishnah says, she'ein umnus, she'ein ba anius v'ashiras, that if a person is in an umnus that's not for them, that's anius. If a person is in an umnus that's for them, and they're happy about it, they're excited about it, that's a shiwas. And that's how you really have to make these decisions. That a person is also not trapped in any particular place, in any particular umnus. Umnus is something which can be transferable, can be fungible. A person can go into one field, and that could be the right thing for them at one point in time. And then when they see that they're basically getting tired of it, that they're losing their passion, then a person can look for the next step, and they can see what is their calling. And they have to read the signals. They have to read the signals of Esakol Asa Yafeh B'Ito, that Yipalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Umnus Tutanav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be miyapeh a particular course, a particular track at one point in time, and then 5-10 years later can be miyapeh for you a different track at a different point in time. You have to read the signals, basically, of what's coming to you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think this also is the message of the a pasuk that's quoted in Kiddushin with respect to Umnus. What was the pasuk that the Gemara in Kiddushin quoted to teach us the union of Umnus? So the pasuk was Re'ei Chayim im Isha Asher Ahavta, right? Says that you have to find Chayim just to get like with your wife, or maybe Isha is a reference to Torah, but then it says Asher Ahavta, that you love, that there is an inyan of following, like Yehovah Samalacha, an inyan of following that which you love, that which you are passionate about, that which gives you excitement, that which gives you fulfillment. So that is, I think, probably the most important indication that you're going to have during these years, when you see kind of what is the direction that naturally is the one that you will go in, following what you are good at, following what you are passionate about, following what gives you happiness in what gives you happiness in life. Now, the other thing about professional life is that it kind of keeps you in a positive frame of mind. If you don't have some sort of a professional state, you don't have a professional status or job, so then it becomes very difficult. We say that batala mebila de shimum, that a person's not doing anything, so that could lead to shimum, it could lead to depression. So I would say, even if a person, like the Gemara in Ksuba says, even if a woman has a fancy servant who could do all of the things she's supposed to do for in the home, she should still do something. There's certain chores she should do, because ultimately there is greater, a person feels more like a human being, they feel more like a part of the world if they're doing something. So even if the right opportunities haven't come along just yet, and you haven't found, you know, this perfect kind of balance of what you love and what causes you tremendous, tremendous simcha, nonetheless, to be doing something is much better than doing nothing. To be able, that's the meaning, I think, of the Gemara that says, b'shot nevelta b'shoka, b'shoka. Even if a person has to just be carrying a carcass into the shuk, which may not be what they love doing at that point in time, but if they don't have the schus of finding anything else yet, then that means that's what they're supposed to do right now. They don't know exactly why. This is going to lead to something else. You should always make sure to be gainfully employed. The Gemara in Gittin says, Gedola malacha shemechamemes es bi'aleh. The malacha is wonderful because of the fact that it provides warmth for a person. What does it mean it provides warmth? Providing warmth means that the person doesn't have a feeling of emptiness. They don't have a feeling of desolation. They have a feeling of belonging to something meaningful. They're belonging to a meaningful universe. So it's very important, even as you're searching for that perfect balance, for that perfect position in life, to take whatever comes along, because these are all messages that this is what you're supposed to be doing as you're moving towards that balance. So Rabbi Tendler's famous line about retiring. Anybody ever hear his joke about retiring? He says, what is it? So he doesn't believe in retirement. He says, what is retirement? It means that you give up what you're doing for a living, and then you get up in the morning and you read the newspaper, and then you kind of get a little bit worn out, so you take a nap, then you get up, and then maybe you'll sip some coffee and you'll go out to the local bakery and schmooze with some friends, and then already it's time for another nap, and then you get up again and you take a walk around the neighborhood, and you take another nap, and you get tired, and you get retired, every couple of hours you get tired again. So in order for a person to avoid that, so a person should always remain active. And basically, the Mishnah also indicates that's why the Torah should always be the Ikkar, because even if a person gets so old that they can't do anything else anymore, so being able to sit and learn is something they'll always be able to do. So that's the Umnus that will remain with you forever. The last point that I would make is that the Gemara in Yevamos makes the point that work also enables somebody to be able to create a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. This is also something that we should bear in mind in terms of our purpose of being sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Olam HaUmnus, into the world of work. Why Yegi HaKapecha Ki Sochel is such a beautiful thing that it creates such great reward. The Gemara in Baruch Hu says that Gedol Hananem Yegi HaKapo Yotze Miyarei Shemayim. It's somebody who does work is even a greater status than Being a person, obviously everyone should be a person, is a Yorei Shemayim. If it's just a person, is a Yorei Shemayim. So that's Ashrei Ish Yorei Es Hashem. So that's okay, he gets an Ashrei. But Yegia Kapecha is Ashrecha V'Tov Lach. It's Ashrecha V'Olam HaZeh V'Tov Lach V'Olam HaBa. So part of that is because you could be just Mekani Shem Shemayim. That every single day, no matter what job, what profession you're in, you can be a beacon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message. Kedetanya, as the Brisa says, this is Yuma Pei Bava Mun Ba'alaf, Yehavtas Hashem Elokecha, Shehei Shem Shemayim Is'ayev HaYotcha, that you should cause the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be beloved through you. Shehei Korei V'Shonim Mishamish Tamidei Chachamim, Yehei Masov, that you go and you learn in Yeshiva, you go to Yeshiva College, you go to Yeshiva University, and then you go out into the workplace. Yehei Masov Matano, and then your interactions are Be'emunah, they are faithful, they are being done with integrity and professionalism, b'dibura b'nachasim abrios, in the way that you speak. You don't speak with the nivel peh jargon of the rest of the universe, but you speak with a beautiful, refined language from the yeshiva that you came from. Mahabrios, almost a love. What do people say? Ashrei aviv shalom do Torah. Blessed is his family that brought him up to teach him Torah. Ashrei rabo shalom do Torah. Blessed is his rebbe and his yeshiva that brought him up to learn Torah. How unfortunate for those who were not prepared to go out into professional life in this particular fashion. And I think that's pshat as well as to a famous kasha that Tosus asked. Tosus asked the following kasha. The Gemara in Shabbos says that when a person goes li olam ha'emes, then they're asked various questions. The first question that they're asked is nasasa v'nasata be'emunah. Did you conduct your business dealings with integrity? And the second question is kavati itim l'Torah. Did you set aside time for learning? Aye, but the Torah learning is supposed to be the yikr. And in fact, Tosfos asked this question in Sanhedrin and Daf Zayin. Tosfos says that it says over there that that a person is first judged with respect to their Torah learning. And Tosfos gives different terutzim. So I'd like to suggest another terutz in addition to the terutzim that are offered by Tosfos. And that is that the very question of nasasa v'nasata be'emuna is itself tied in hand with the question of kabati itim l'Torah. What does it mean? The question of kabati itim l'Torah, setting aside time for Torah learning, doesn't mean anything if it's not going to result in being a Torah personality in the workplace. That is why you're learning all the Torah. You're learning all the Torah so you'll be able to go out into the world and you'll be able to manifest that Torah personality, that Torah perspective, that Torah refinement, that Torah integrity in terms of whatever professional atmosphere that you're in terms of whatever profession you're in terms of whatever professional life that you have, that you will be able to constantly be Mekadi Shem Shemayim by infusing your Torah values and your Torah education in the professional world where you end up being located. So I give you a bracha. You should all be successful in your finals, and you should all find the proper panasa, berevach, v'shofi, and be b'kadosh Shem Shemayim in all of your endeavors.